Welcome to Me Maintenance, our new No Judgment series on personal wellness for turf managers. I'm Peter McCormick. Me Maintenance is sponsored by our friends at Ocean Organics. Nice people and good products. And always ask to see the research. My guest today is Mike LeCavalier, golf course superintendent at Kahnawake Golf Club in Montreal, Quebec. Many of you who frequent Turf Twitter may know Mike as the weight loss bodybuilding champ with the before after photos, which are classics. But there's a story behind that, one with a period of darkness before a decision to hit the reset button on several fronts. Mike, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're going to talk today about the depths of alcohol and substance abuse and fighting our way out of it. I personally quit drinking 2 years ago for a number of reasons that were very different from Mike's. Don't know that we'll get into that today, but there's time moving forward. Mike's agreed to tell us about his journey today. So let's kick off with you, Mike. You've been a superintendent your entire career, correct? And have been at Kahnawake for 17 years.
Correct. Yeah, I'm entering my 18th year at Kahnawake. I've been in pretty well a career superintendent or golf course employee. Went to college for it, Seneca College back in the early 80s. And I've been doing it since. Went in totally green just because I was a golf. I played golf. I like the game of golf. Oh, I'll take this program because a couple of my friends, their family owned golf courses, and I just followed suit and tagged along with them, and I've been doing it ever since. And superintendent, geez, well, I think early 93 was probably my first time where I became a superintendent, and a lot of constructions, done a lot of construction renovations. Really like that, and sort of winding down the career now. I have two more years left on my current contract, and from there, I'll make some decisions.
And you're 58 now, correct?
58, yes. How I made it to that with some of the things I went through, I don't know, but I made it. Woo, made it, thankfully.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us about some of the alcohol bit, you know, when you started and perhaps how it accelerated and all that.
Yeah, certainly don't want to glorify it. I mean, I had a lot of fun experiences during that whole process, but it turned dark later on, and it wasn't fun. And it's not fun at all.
Started as a young adult?
Yeah, started just, you know, I didn't do anything really in high school until maybe my last year of high school. And you know, we're going to a school dance and, hey, let's try this. And my first shot out of a little bottle cap, I can remember it vividly. You know, that is very indicative of alcoholics or addicts, is they can remember that first shot, that first drink, that first whatever, like it was yesterday. And was, wow, what is this? This has given me some courage. Let's go to the dance, and had a great time. And it started from there. And it just was, let's just go out and party. And it became, you know, weekend and binges and blackouts. And it just got blackout drunk all the time, constantly. You know, Mike was the party guy. Hey, what happened this weekend type of thing, right? And it became ego driven too, where you started just doing stuff just to make another big story for the weekend to share with people. And it's not what that just led to a dark, dark place. Yeah, and thankfully I came out of it.
And you made the decision to reset your life. When was that? And how did you come about that?
Came about, usually when I had big issues was in the off season, because you're just not as busy at the golf course. You're not up early. You don't have all those responsibilities as much. It's more downtime. You're still busy, but not as crazy. So a lot of the times it would just escalate in the wintertime. So this rock bottom, which happened, thankfully, that's a lot of times that's what it takes for people to come out of it, is hitting rock bottom or having a near-death experience. But me, it was just rock bottom. I've had many near-death experiences, but we're not going to talk about that today, and maybe never. But about 1380 days ago, I keep count on my calendar. I can't remember. Is when I hit rock bottom and looked in that mirror and literally went, I need help. I'm an alcoholic. I need help. And I called some friends right away, and boom, they came over and were there by my side. I was in a horrible state, but here I am today to talk about it.
Were they surprised when you called?
Probably not. I don't think they ever said that they were surprised. They knew I definitely had issues, but I was just, they never said that they were surprised. They were probably happy and very supportive. And to this day, they're still keep an eye on me, make sure I'm good, especially during this COVID. It hasn't been easy. But thankfully I got through it. And, unfortunately many did not.
The hitting rock bottom analogy is has long been a favorite of mine, more so due to job loss than anything else. But I've always said that when you hit rock bottom, you've got two choices. You can bounce or you can go splat. And I'm sure you can identify with that.
It is a choice. And when you're that messed up, but the thing is, when you're in that state, your mind is so distorted and messed up and you don't see anything. You're not clear. You can't make decisions, but somehow I did that day, just at least that, to ask for help was the key. Cause normally cause you're so messed up anyways, you can't really make proper decisions except that one, just to ask for help. That's the key question. That's the key there, is asking for help. And then the rest will come as this gets cleared out, and then you can start seeing, wow, life's pretty cool here. I don't want to splat. Let's go.
You have to ask the question. So you were at Kahnawake, you've been there for 17 years, and a raging alcoholic, I suppose. You know, there's no other way to describe it during that time. How'd you get away with that? From an agronomic, a people standpoint, management standpoint, club relations standpoint, all of that.
Yeah, you just get really good at hiding it. That's one thing with addicts. You get really good at hiding your problems. And it's very typical. When I did, you know, it's very scary. In fact, it's kind of nervous talking about it right now, because I have never talked like this in an open discussion. So it's uncomfortable. I'm not ashamed of it, but somehow you just get through it. I don't know really how. I tell you, I don't know how I got through it. Just work-wise, I mean, functioning, the responsibilities, being a super, and just coming home again and starting again at night and just self-medicating again and then recover. It was a vicious cycle.
So you were pretty much a drink-at-home guy as opposed to, you know, hiding the bottles in your desk at work.
No, none of that was going on. But, it led to some other dark places too, not just alcohol. I won't get into that today, but it led to other choices too, not just alcohol.
So you're pushing 4 years now sober, which is outstanding. Yeah. Did your decision to really dive into the gym work, the bodybuilding, the better nutrition, the overall health push, better health push, was that more or less concurrent with that, or did that come before or after?
You know, when I hit rock bottom, and I worked on my sobriety through AA for a while, and that really kept me sober and helped me immensely. And I stopped that, and I didn't start training until maybe almost a year after I became sober. I just wasn't ready for it yet. Just trying to stay sober was a focus. and trying to adapt to everything and the new life. And then the training came back because I always trained before, but it was just on and off. But I wasn't very serious about it because the partying always got in the way, right? You get into a program, then the partying part takes over. So you can never stay committed. And nutrition is a big part of a good healthy lifestyle. You know, going to the gym is one part, but the food and the nutrition is another a key component. So it was about a year after I became sober, and I hired a trainer. I still have that trainer today, and he gives me my workouts every day are different. My nutrition is pretty strict and steady, which probably drive most people bonkers, but I like it. And it gives me what I want. And if I want to get a pizza, guess what? I'll order a pizza. Not a big deal.
And your AA experience was, so you did that for a period of time. That was a daily thing that you did?
Yeah, it was, and during that time, the golf season had just started, especially in the month, you know, in our area, you're just coming out of the spring and you know that, it comes out in rough shape, you've got a tough year ahead. So, you know, you have those challenges as well. So the course, you know, I started doing the AA at the same time as the golf course was opening. So it was hectic time, but I fit it in at night times to get to meetings every day pretty well the first 5 months, 6 months. Met some really cool people. And then just faded out from it, just for my own reasons. And I've been still sober to this day.
And your gym work has more or less supplanted the AA in your overall well-being.
Yeah, I call my gym and my training my alcohol now, my drug of choice, a healthy drug, whatever. That's the way I term it. Whatever it is, yeah. And it's been difficult with the closures. You know, we've had four closures now of gyms and over the last 2 years. So, you know, thankfully, my discipline has got me through it. Not easy, you know, but I have weights and stuff in my house that I just train at my house on my own. But the last 2 months have been difficult, but you get through it and you just fight your way through it. And we're back at it tomorrow.
There you go. So you are single, correct?
Yes, I am.
How did that factor into your the alcohol and recovery, or if at all?
I don't think there's any link to it. Maybe it's just being single, I was able to be more selfish. That's a big problem for addicts. You become selfish. It's all about me. Where's my next drink? Where's my next party? I've canceled this, make an excuse for that. So being single, maybe it made it a little easier, but I still would have probably been the same in a relationship or not. But yeah, having relationships, who wants to be around that?
Yeah, you know? Sure.
Who wants to be around that nonsense?
You have a 20-year-old son, Vincent, correct?
Yeah, Vince LeCavalier, no relation to the Tampa Bay dude, but
too bad.
He's 20. He's awesome. He's into investing, and he's actually a mentor of mine now. Believe it or not, he's a great kid, and we're very close. We talk daily about everything. He knows about my drinking. He knows about that stuff. I educate him on that, and it's important to be open with him on it, and he appreciates it. And he's making some good choices for a young man. So knock on wood on that. That worked out pretty good.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Your Twitter handle is at Anthracnos. Now, if I were a shrink, I'd probably pick that apart in terms of what the heck are you thinking about? That sounds pretty dark. What's the story there?
Yeah, that does have a story to it. When I started at Kennewaukee, that's when I joined Twitter. I can't remember how long ago it was, but I joined Twitter. And I come from a bentgrass golf course prior to Kennewaukee, and I started treating these POA push-up greens similar to the bentgrass ones. Keep that fertility low. No, I didn't work too well. And I got destroyed by anthracnose a couple of years. Real nasty stuff. Like, it was some of the best anthracnose you could imagine. Turf pathologists would be drooling over this. So some of them actually called me after and wanted my handle, but I was like, no, you're not getting it. So that's the story behind the anthracnose handle. And we don't have those issues anymore. But every time I see it on the green, just a little speck, ooh, I get nervous.
There you go. What do you do for fun besides the gym?
Well, I really like to travel in the winter. Unfortunately, the last few years, I haven't been able to do that. So, you know, I might do that in the next few weeks. I might get out of here and hit a beach, believe it or not. I really enjoy anything by the water, biking, hiking, just walking, investing now. I like my sideline and investing. Taking courses like that now, which is shocking. Mike's taking courses. Whoa. Yep. Shocking, actually. But kind of uncomfortable. But, you know, to grow, you got to get uncomfortable. So that I've learned a lot. Self-helps and motivational speakers. I'm really following some cool people lately that I'm reaching out to, and they're reaching back. Some really neat people in the world of sports and business that I'm working with and talking with. Meditation is really huge for me now. I really like it and swear by it, and wish more people that struggled would really look at this and try it and really put effort into it, because it will help you immensely.
Yeah, I found the deep breathing component of meditation to be particularly helpful. I try to use a meditation app several times a week. I should do it every day because it is helpful. I find that, and actually do it several times a day, breathe in through my nose and hold it and then blow it out. And I sort of look at that as you know, breathing in the new, the clean, the clear, and then blowing out the stress and the all the bad stuff. And you know, that takes 30 seconds or a minute to do, but I find it to be extremely helpful, both with physical issues, you know, pains that I may have or whatever, and just bad situations where I need to get a little bit of a control or a grip on before I do something I'll regret later.
It's I agree. I mean, you can call it deep breathing. Some people might call it meditation, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't matter. As long as you're doing it, you know, for you, you say it helps you. Great. I make time for it now because I know it's going to help me. Even though I'm rushing and trying to get all these things done, I stop now and say, no, you're going to sit down and calm yourself. Just clear your head. Just so I have a calm mind, so I can make real clear decisions, especially when life gets crazy and hectic.
Well, when isn't it? You know, the problem with technology and all that, as complex as our lives have become, it's, you know, we're just under a constant siege or bombardment of stimuli from, you know, all directions. And particularly as superintendents who have to have their fingers on the pulse of so many things throughout the day at the golf course, I would think that that's even more so.
Yeah, I'm guilty of being on social media way too much, and I see, but now I'm able to catch myself now when I get caught into that going down the wrong path. Oh, hang on, don't go there. So I can catch myself now, which is good. And I find through meditation and breathing that it's helping me catch myself not getting into those traps of going the negative route. You know, and I see guys on Twitter and they're tweeting out things that someone took a divot out of their green and it ruins their day. Really? Really? I mean, it's a divot. Just plug it out. It's done.
Fix and that's it, move on.
That's how I look at it now. And I wish more of the younger guys or anybody will just relax. It's not a big deal, that stuff. It's really nothing in the big picture of things. And that's how I'm looking at life now. And if you don't like it, that's okay. I don't take it personally. It's all right. Have a good day. See you later.
So your Twitter profile says you enjoy music.
Yeah.
Anything music in particular?
You know, I'm probably a wide variety. Let me tell you, I'd probably shock some people, some of the music I listen to. I mean, I'm into the hardcore hip hop to dance, to trance, to lounge, to DJ stuff, to mixes, to old rock and roll, to, you know, to heavy metal, to not huge on the country stuff, but I do dive into that sometimes, but wide variety of tastes. I can't play any type of music instrument. I envy anybody that can. I think it's wonderful. I know you play some music. That's awesome. I just have no talent in that, but I always am envious of anything and anybody that can play an instrument of any kind. So I love music, and I play it all the time in my house. It calms me and it keeps me happy. And I think when you're feeling a bit down, get a speaker and the music's at your fingertips. Now you can play anything you want in 2 seconds. Dance around.
I think about my hi-fi system back 40 years ago. You know, used to take up a whole wall, and that whole thing is on my phone and a Bluetooth speaker now.
Yeah, pretty much. I love it. Music is tremendous and very important for me.
It was a huge step for me back about 7 years ago. When I turned 60, I decided to start playing the guitar and from scratch. Then 3 years ago, I transitioned to the piano, and that has been absolutely huge for me, particularly, you know, during this pandemic and the political nonsense that's going on and all that stuff. It just has provided a sort of a safe harbor for me to get lost in, so to speak. You know, over the years, beyond having issues with quantity of alcohol as opposed to frequency, I struggled more with depression, which the alcohol didn't help at all. But one of the things when I was really at my depths and looking for some help also, I found a music therapist, which actually was hugely beneficial. He was actually the one that encouraged me to pursue the piano as well. But, you know, sometimes our sessions would be an hour of just conversation about whatever. Sometimes it would be an hour long guitar lesson. Other times we might look at, you know, song lyrics from songs that we'd think about or we'd remember from way back. And, you know, what do you remember about them? Or why do you remember those lyrics, and what do they mean to you? And it's kind of a fun game to play, but it tells you a lot about where your head was, certainly at that point in time. So that's, the music's been big for me as well.
That's great. That's awesome. Just to pick up a guitar and learn it like that, that's so impressive. That's mind-boggling to me. I love it. Good for you.
Well, I realized that I didn't have a bucket list, and I also try to live by the mantra that if you stop learning, you start dying. So certainly want to put off the dementia or Alzheimer's or any of that kind of stuff by trying to keep my brain active. You've had some challenges with relatives with that lately also, right?
Yeah, it's been a, you know, thank goodness I was sober. There's a reason for all this happening. I don't question it. I just, thankfully, it's happened. There's a new path for me, and you just run with it. I don't question it. But yeah, you know, last year I lost my dad in May. That was horrendous. It was brutal. Yeah, I got so connected to him during the whole process, beyond my understanding. Like, I'm closer to my dad every day now, more every day. Pretty wild. That's cool. Like, I talk to my dad constantly, and he's always there with me. And that's pretty neat. And being sober has allowed me to really get into that. And I it's cool. And I miss them terribly. It was a battle right to the end during that process where, and I live in Montreal, my dad and mom live in Ottawa. So we're 2 hours away. So plus a golf season that you're trying to take care of. So my mom, during my process of my dad passing, went into Alzheimer's dementia breakdown immensely, like rapidly. And I had no clue about this disease. I was naive. I didn't know what was going on. I just thought my mom was losing her mind, and wasn't the case at all. She was sick, and losing her hubby of 62 years, 64 years together, just broke her. So right during that process, I had to, you know, try to keep an eye on my mom, get her. She ended up in the hospital for 7 weeks. I couldn't visit her because of COVID, trying to run a golf course, my dad passing, trying to settle the estate. Yeah, it was a lot of crazy stuff going on, just endless. And even to this last week, I did find a home for my mom. So she's in a great care facility. It's fantastic. But she got COVID and ended up with pneumonia and almost lost her. Today's Sunday. Last Sunday, a week ago, I was by her bedside just thinking, this is it. This is it. And miracles happened. She bounced back from medicine and doctors, and something happened. She's still here. So, yeah, and dementia and Alzheimer's, man, what a terrible freaking disease that is. Just, I've lost her too, but she's a different person, but she's still my mom, and I got to be there to take care of her now. So, yeah, it's been tough go. Tough go. But we all
have- with everything else going on too. Well, I certainly appreciate your willingness to share your story with us. I suspect it's probably been a little bit challenging for you, being the first time that you've really ever really talked about it publicly, I guess, correct?
Yeah, I've always posted stuff out on Twitter, and I don't do it to for pats on the back and, oh man, I'm great and look at me. It's not why I do it. I do it to maybe reach out and might help someone. Go ask for help. I always say that. Go ask for help. It's cool to ask for help. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. And that's the main thing I do it for. You reached out to me. A couple other people have reached out to me over the years that were struggling. And here we are talking about it. I mean, it's time. And it's good for me too. It's good for my my health and my well-being as well. And it makes me feel good.
It's a conversation that the industry needs to have. And I think the industry is rapidly becoming more receptive to it. You know, some of the powers that be want to project this squeaky clean image of the superintendent industry or superintendent profession. And superintendent profession is tough, you know, and I applaud you certainly for, you know, recognizing it and not going splat and, you know, reaching out and getting the help that you needed. And from there, picking up yourself by the bootstraps and marching on.
That's it. We're here for a short time, so try to have a good time.
There you go. Thanks, Mike. This has been our first episode of Me Maintenance on TurfNet, and stay tuned. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Bye.